Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Up, sales at full. Welcome to Sloopcast. How are you doing today, pal?
Doing all right, Jared. Doing all right. How are you?
You know, spent the past 2 days out in the yard. My allergies, I think, are as bad as they've been since I was a grade school boy. And for whatever reason, I decided that I was going to really hit that anchor. I was really going to hit that anchor. Like, I was really testing the voice just to see if it could do it. Really risking a squeak there. Really, really going out on the edge and really just hitting that anchor hard. It was strong, though. I appreciate that, Spikes. My voice squeaked right before we started hitting the record button. And I was like, you know what? We're going for it. There's no holding back now. I got 60 minutes to glory. A to B, 5 seconds. Let's go.
All right. Well, last week we did a Die on This Hill on takes, you and I.
Yeah.
So we're going to expand that this week here and have it with some of our listeners and patrons.
Yeah.
Weigh in on their hot takes.
Yeah. And if you guys, we enjoyed doing it last week. It's been fun. So if you're in the YouTube section right now and you have a controversial take that you fully believe in, a hill in which you are willing to die on, for example, I don't like dill. This is a true statement, although try and keep it college football related, I suppose. But I bet I really hate dill. I really don't like dill at all. That's a different conversation for a different day. We're not that deep into the wasteland, but maybe we are. But yeah, these are some user-submitted ones. We got Spikes and Esquire in the live chat right now. Guys, if you think of one during the course of the show and you want to plop it into the Discord chat as we go along, you guys go right ahead. And Kyle? We have a couple from Austin. I know we got at least one from Zach. Let's start off strong. Ohio State wins the national championship game in 2014. Excuse me, with Cardale Jones at quarterback. The keyword there being only. Ohio State only wins the national championship in 2014 with Cardale Jones at quarterback. Spike says correct. I don't know how controversial this is, if I'm being honest. I know, like, it's a common, like, there are some people who want to take JT Barrett and put him on. There are some people who want to build a statue of JT Barrett outside of the horseshoe. There are people who are like, oh, the record books, the wins, the leadership, the guts, the glory. There are people out there who want to build a goddamn statue to the kid and put it right in the middle of Buckeye Grove. There are those of us who have a less favorable opinion of JT Barrett. And like the guts and the glory and the leadership and all of that, I agree. But he was a subpar thrower of the football, and that's not all his fault. I think, if we're being honest, Urban Meyer has a lot of fault to blame there between beating his shoulder up and then just not developing him as a passer, but also just like the brutal number of shots he took on his shoulder running the ball.
JT, great on decision making, great on. He wasn't the quickest player, but being able to make guys miss when he needs to, getting that extra yard or two.
For sure.
Definitely.
I noticed you didn't say anything about throwing the ball.
Yeah, definitely that guy that that can get you those yards when it's needed the most.
Yeah. Again, I've great noticed leader, you've great not leader, said anything great leader, about throwing on the ball.
Great leader on and off the field.
Yeah.
This is
for sure.
This is another Tim Tebow.
Yeah. For sure.
It's another Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow had a huge arm, though.
Inaccurate.
I didn't say anything about the accuracy. I didn't say anything about the accuracy. Just Tebow had a really strong arm. Mm-hmm. He wasn't as good a decision maker as JT Barrett. I think they both had timing issues as far as throwing the ball. But when
JT was on, he was on, though.
Yeah,
like he had some great moments, but yeah, he's Ohio State's Tim Tebow. He's not going to be the most talented quarterback Ohio State has had, or even before him. There's been some better quarterbacks overall, but his leadership and his ability to win games, it showed. But does that mean that should build a statue after him? No, doesn't mean that.
Okay, but the question, that was my fictitious hot take. That was the straw man argument. The actual argument here is that essentially JT Barrett can't win the national title. He doesn't, the implication here is that he does not, well, maybe he beats Wisconsin, but that he does not beat Alabama and or Oregon. That's the implication here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fill in for Austin here. First, let me read what Spike says. But really, it was only going to work with Jones having only one game of film out there for Saban. Saban had to guess his weaknesses and guessed wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 100%. Not only was Cardell Jones an unknown, which he was, again, as Spikes points out, he only had Wisconsin tape. And in that game, what it was basically just Devin Smith outrunning the Wisconsin defensive backs. And Saban just says, my guys could probably do better. And they couldn't. And I think it was, they never threw down the middle of the field versus Whiskey. Again, very accurate. It was always down the sidelines. And I think that in many ways, what you saw against Wisconsin was not a sophisticated offense. I think it looked like a lot of like 1970s NFL ball, where it was just run the ball right at them, and when they suck up the safeties too much, make them pay over top. And I think Saban just went into that thinking, well, my guys will be better over the top, and my guys will do better along the defensive line, along the front seven. Zeke's not going to run all over us. I'm not going to let you know, they're not going to be able to do to us what they did against Wisconsin. So I think that Saban may have looked at the tape and said, yeah, but we're not Wisconsin. And as it turns out,
so.
Well, okay, yeah, true. True. That's in Saban's defense. It's true. But you got a slightly more sophisticated version of an Ohio State offense with Cardale Jones. It was still mostly run the ball and throw it deep. But as Spikes points out, they incorporated a bigger passing tree. There were balls thrown down the middle of the field. And when it comes down to it, if you have a offensive line that was clicking, and it was clicking, and you had a running back who was clicking, and as Buckeye Esquire points out, they didn't know Zeke had gone Super Saiyan. And sometimes you just have to be hot at the right time, and that's what a playoff gets you. It's what a playoff gets you. Ohio State didn't need to be the best team in September or October or, well, okay, or the beginning of November. But once you got to the end of November and shit started clicking, no one was ready for it. They just hadn't looked like that all year. They hadn't looked like a deep throwing team all year. And I think that's the case you make if you're Austin with this guy on the hill. Again, my one, I just don't know how many people are going to disagree. What are your thoughts, Kyle?
So,
are you going to take the pro JT Barrett stance? I could do it too. I don't agree with it, but I can make the argument.
Yeah,
Braxton couldn't throw deep by that time, not with his shoulder the way it was. Braxton never threw the ball again.
Nope.
Not competitively. Braxton Miller, not in the NFL, not at Ohio State, never threw the ball ever again. I do think JT beats Oregon for what it's worth. Maybe. Potentially. We all know the real national championship game was Ohio State versus Bama. In the same way that we all know the real national championship game this past year was Ohio State versus Georgia. Those are the real national title games.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think in that year. Yeah, I think
no
JT
could have won.
Yeah.
Especially against Oregon. Yeah.
Yeah. If JT didn't get hurt, he'd win every game, but that Bama game would definitely be very iffy to say that Ohio State would win with JT still. And a lot of that is like what you and as Z-Spikes mentioned about, it's the unknown that really carried Ohio State of to beat Bama. And let's not kid ourselves. It came down to one last throw at the end of the game too. Like Ohio State was holding on to the end there and won by one score.
Yeah, I mean, and we have to make the counter argument with JT versus Bama would have looked like that Clemson game, the bad one. Maybe, I think that's a fair assessment. I think JT Barrett had regressed even. JT Barrett got worse as a quarterback as time went on, which to me is you can only point at Urban Meyer, the excessive running, the coaching. If your quarterback's regressing, that's the coach's fault. I don't know what else it could be. I will never speak of this again. Yeah. I'll say this. Of course, Cardell was lights out against Wisconsin. That was the greatest beatdown in college football history. You want me to have a hill to die on? That might be the greatest beatdown in college football history.
Is it?
Yeah. Kyle, They beat the spread by 62 or 63 points. Wisconsin was favored going into that game. They beat
that's the
spread. It was either 62 or 63 points. I dare anybody to go find a game in which the spread was beat that badly. Please, someone go find that game. Beat them so bad their coach quit and went to the Pac-12. Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, the one that came to my mind was 2 years ago. That one was a beatdown.
Okay. Well, one, Georgia would have been favored going into that game.
Yes.
And it's week one. We're not talking about a conference championship game. So it has to be. Yeah, neither circumstance nor numbers bear that out, in my opinion. All right. It needs to be said about Cardale Jones. He had a slow start. Ohio State was on their way to getting beat down by Bama in that game. Cardale had a couple rough opening drives. Yeah, 21-6. Cardale Jones had a turnover or two. Ohio State was on their way to being beaten down in that game at one point, and Cardale Jones played his role in that. We can talk about the offensive onpouring that came after that moment. We have talked about the offensive onpouring that came after that. But Cardale owns his piece of that start to that game. He had an ugly turnover against Oregon early in that game as well. Could we have seen lower scoring versions, more conservative, more trotting versions of these games if JT Barrett's the quarterback? You're putting a lot of weight on one guy to change the entire makeup of a game. But I think that what you get with JT Barrett is what you expect. And with Cardale Jones was more of a wild card. One guy considerably more dependable, one guy considerably more explosive. And I think that's kind of JT Barrett versus Cardale Jones in a sense.
Yeah, I've been trying to find anything about like largest spread, but like largest spread difference, but
yeah, I'm not even sure how to word that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kyle, we have a couple more questions, or excuse me, a couple more hot takes here, a couple more statements. Right. Do you have them up? Which one do you want to go to?
I do have it up here. Ouch. Archie Griffin isn't the best running back in Ohio State history.
So this can be. All right, so let me just acknowledge this off of the top. There's not a running back that played. Is he alluding to Evan Pryor? That would be a very awesome thing to do.
That would be.
First off, let's just acknowledge athletes are bigger, faster, stronger. There's not a running back in the 70s who played in the 70s that would even make Ohio State's roster. Is that a hill I need to die on as well? There's not a... Archie Griffin would not make Ohio State's roster based off of... If you took him, put him in a time machine, and just whipped him forward to 2023. Probably doesn't even make the roster. But that's just because we're really bad at acknowledging that fact, I think, sometimes, because we, of course, love to put these guys up on pedestals. Of course we do. But, like, we all know, like, we can, when it comes to something where it's just pure math, like, Jesse Owens was, of course, one of the best ever do it for his time. But we now, we know for a fact Usain Bolt's faster. Because it's such a one-to-one that there's no debating it, right? Do you see my point, Kyle? Like, we just need to acknowledge bigger, faster, stronger. The line just keeps getting moved. So I think we just have to put one big, to even entertain this conversation, we need to put one big asterisk on this conversation that is essentially, you know, for their era.
Yeah, but I mean, a great running back can't get the yardage if they don't have the big old slobs clearing the paths for him.
100%. There are running backs who could have done better if they had better in front of them. Again, zero offense to Eddie George, who was great and is great. Doesn't hurt that he had Corey Stringer and Orlando Pace in front of him.
Yeah.
It really doesn't hurt. And that's not me disrespecting Eddie George. That's just me saying that who else could have. There are names at Ohio State who were very good, who maybe we don't put on that same pedestal. Like, who are the S tier running backs in quasi modern Ohio State football? It's Archie, it's Eddie, it's Zeke. You know what I mean? Like, but what about a guy like Keith Byers? What if Keith Byers had the absolute hogs in front of him that Eddie George had? Greatest fullback ever. The term fullback doesn't mean what it used to mean or what it currently means. I don't know. He was a running back. He ran the ball. He was a person who ran the ball. Bad service dropping off. See you, Esquire. You see what I mean, though? Like, football is so tough because we're not just talking about this guy runs 100 meters and we time him. Because, like, even with baseball, it's you standing there with a bat. And we can talk about the quality of pitching and yada, 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 of course. But it's still just you standing there with a bat. Football is so tough. And again, no disrespect to Eddie George, but does he win the Heisman with a non-spectacular line in front of him? Maybe. Maybe not. I'm not well studied enough, if I'm being honest, to talk about the quality of offensive line in front of Archie. I'm not. I wish I was. I wish I could speak intelligently on that. Zeke had a great crew in front of him, a crew that turned into a good crew, but struggled at the beginning of the year. But, you know, Tyler Decker went first round. A bunch of those guys were high draft picks. No disrespect, but I don't think any of them were, no one was, Orlando Pace is, this is not a crazy hill to die on. Orlando Pace is the greatest Ohio State offensive lineman of all time. That's not a crazy statement. Corey Stringer, by the way, is also one of the best offensive linemen to ever play at Ohio State, and they happen to be on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so hard. Football is just the ultimate team sport, and it's really individual awards and individual accolades are just inherently dishonest. Kyle, is Archie Griffin Is this a crazy hill to die on? Because I don't think it is. I think my take here, it's a crazy hill to die on to have a strong opinion on this. I don't think there's a warranted strong opinion to have here. To say this guy is the best Ohio State running back of all time, period, done.
I mean
he's the only with two Heismans. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's the kicker right there, Jared. That's what's going to elevate him over anybody else.
But should it?
It's a big reason.
I do not think that they'll ever give a Heisman to a guy twice ever again. I think there's too much politicking. I think there's too much just let's not do it. Let's spread it around. We're going back to Tim Tebow on this again. Tim Tebow probably deserved to win the Heisman a second time. His second year was arguably just as good, if not better, than his first, the year that he did win the Heisman. I will say it. I think the fact that they didn't give Tebow a second Heisman, he's the greatest running back, Florida's best running back of all time. Fred Taylor has something to say to you. But your joke is well received regardless. Fred Taylor was a good running back. But that's just my ADHD talking. I don't know. It's just how do you say? Cuz the Heisman's bullshit. Like, I'm sorry, Kyle, you and I every year talk about how the Heisman is political regional voting bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
We say it because it's true. So now we're going to say, well, Archie is clearly the best running back whoever played at Ohio State because he has two Heismans. Does that make us hypocrites? Bullshit.
No, bullshit. Jared. Of course not. Of course not.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, my opinion on this is that I do think you're going to catch grief on this one. I do think people will get upset with you on this one. But this is such a untouchable statement because he has two Heismans. But yet we all also agree that the Heisman's bullshit. It's hypocritical.
Just like the Heisman?
Well, no, I don't know if hypocritical is the word for the Heisman. I would say the Heisman's just, it's bullshit. Like, what better word is there? What better word is there? It's bullshit. Who did Austin think was the best running back? He doesn't say. He simply says Archie Griffin isn't the best running back in Ohio State history. And I agree. And I agree only because I think it's absurd to say that any one guy is. We could do a tier list, Kyle. Should we do a tier list? We could do a tier list, and I would put Archie in the S tier. Next episode. No, we got big plans next episode.
Okay.
But Kyle, should we do that? Hey, Spikes, can you do me a favor? Can you go write that in the Wasteland channel for me? I'm putting Archie in the S tier, but he's not going to be the only one in the S tier. Zeke's going to be there, and Eddie George is going to be there. Mm-hmm. Then these are just names I'm pulling off the top of my head. Hopalong should probably be on in there, although, like, it feels weird to say that because I've never seen him play. But, like,
I mean, he's got a Heisman. Never saw Archie play.
No, but we had TV then though. Okay. We do have. I never watched him play live. There was my voice. I never watched him play live.
I mean, you can't not include Keith Byers too, who should have won a Heisman.
He should have won a Heisman. Yeah, but this is my point. We shouldn't be using the Heisman as the be all end all. And that includes having two.
Like best running backs. If didn't get out of trouble and stayed at Ohio State.
But he did. But he did.
I know. I'm just saying if though.
But he did.
Could have had conversations about that too.
Coulda. Aren't. We could have. We aren't.
Yeah.
It'll be real interesting to find out where we put him on the tier list, though, because I feel like we'll fight over that.
All right, next question here, Jared.
Not a question. It's an opinion.
Okay, opinion from Buckeye Zach. Ryan Day is the 21st century.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
John Cooper.
Hard disagree. Hard disagree. Right. Well, for one thing, Cooper only beat Michigan twice, yes?
I think so, yeah.
So Day's already done that in considerably less tries. So,
but
there you go.
There's a
Day has also won bowl games, as Spikes points out.
There's a great thing that 11 Warriors posted out last week, talking about where Ryan Day stacks up compared to his previous coaches.
Sure, 11Warriors.com. Give him another boost there. Yeah, because they need that from us.
Yeah. First 4 years as a head coach, and this is kind of very interesting. Great numbers here. First 4 years, Cooper was 0-4 against the team up north, and Ryan Day is 1-2.
With the COVID,
could have been 2-2, but for the record, he was 1-2 in the first 4 years.
Because Michigan ducked.
Yeah, I know.
Because Michigan, it's 2-2. And in the books, 1-2. In our hearts and minds, 2-2.
Mm-hmm. First 4 years, John Cooper had 0 Big Ten championships. Ryan Day tied with Earl Bruce with 2.
And by the way, okay, we also need to point out, hell of a lot easier to get a Big Ten championship in John Cooper's time. Because you could have multiple teams. This is no disrespect to Jim Tressel, but this is why Jim Tressel has so many Big Ten championships. Cause you could share them back then. Big Ten championships through 4 years.
Yeah. What I was just saying.
Yeah. I was reading it. So yeah, there you go. I'm surprised Tress only had 1 through 4 year. And for the record, his 1 was a share. Earl Bruce, his 2nd 1 was a share. Therefore, Ryan Day is the only Ohio State coach to have 2 non-shared Big Ten. And by the way, the only guy to have 2 that were actually won and not just awarded.
But this is an interesting deal. There have been only 4 coaches who've won a national title in their first 4 years. Paul Brown, Tressel Meyer, and Woody Hayes, which, if you know Ohio State history, are the only four coaches to win titles.
Interesting. Urban Meyer would have had two if not for the postseason ban.
Oh.
Probably. They probably win that Big Ten championship game, right?
I think so, but wasn't that year, what year, what? I mean, that was 2012.
It's so hard because that team wasn't very good, but they just kept winning. So it's really hard, even though I don't think that, again, I don't think that team was very good. It's really hard to say that they wouldn't have won a game when all they did was win games.
Oh, yeah, that was right. That was when it was repeat of Alabama and LSU.
No, Kyle. The Big Ten game. Big Ten game.
Oh, the Big Ten.
They weren't. No, that team couldn't win a national title. That team couldn't win a national title, Kyle. That was Wisconsin versus Michigan State, correct?
That was Wisconsin from the Leaders Division and Nebraska from the Legends Division.
Nebraska?
Wisconsin defeated Nebraska 70-31.
Wisconsin? That was the Russell Wilson year. Ohio State beat that Wisconsin team. No, the year before was the Russell Wilson year. I'm confusing 2011 and 2012. Yeah, no, that was the year before. Spikes correctly checks me on that.
Yeah, no. That was the one with what's his first name? Gordon. Marvin?
Food Services?
Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon. He was the one, he rushed 9 times for 216 yards.
That is the most Wisconsin thing I've ever heard.
Wisconsin only threw the ball 8 times that game and still put up 70 points.
I'm sorry. That's the most Wisconsin thing I've ever heard. Actually, that's bordering line on Iowa. That's almost the most Iowa thing I've ever heard.
All right. Moving
Austin
on.
Says if you can't beat Michigan, if you can't beat Michigan and win a natty, they did beat Michigan, but won the Big Ten. So take that, Austin. All right, Kyle, we have one more.
Yeah, we've got one more here. Let me pull it up here.
Were there any more numbers from that 11 Warriors article to you thought were interesting to pull from, or do you want to move on to the
real quick here. So through the first 4 years, I mean, it's a big part here. It's a big part, but through the first 4 years, second best winning percentage in Ohio State history for Coach Day.
Second to Meyer, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oops, I put that in the wrong section. There you go, Jared.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Day loses 6 so far through the same time frame. Urban only lost 4. Ironically, the difference is 2 Michigan games.
Yeah. Yes. That is right. And then the other thing that was very interesting, I guess it comes to no surprise here. I mean, there's only 3 coaches that you can compare for recruiting, though. But from a recruiting standpoint, Ryan Day leads, though, in terms of average.
He is. But we also need to put an asterisk on all of this to say that Ryan Day inherited a much better Ohio State team.
That's true, yeah.
Than anyone else did.
But look at that first year for
Jim Trussell. That's not even debatable.
Look at that first year, though, from Jim Trussell. Fifth.
I think that was that year they brought in like four or five insane offensive linemen, if I remember correctly. But God, you're asking me about a recruiting class from 2002. So, recruiting rankings first. And I especially bring this up on the recruiting side because, like, Mark Pantone's right there. Like, he's doing that literally with Urban Meyer's recruiting front office. It just needs to be said. When comparing all these numbers, it needs to be said, Jim Tressel was brought in because the program wasn't where it needed to be. Urban Meyer was brought in after the only bad season in Ohio State's 21st century. Earl Bruce replaces Woody Hayes, but Woody Hayes had fallen off at that point. Program was not where it needed to be. We're not going through a recruiting class from 2002. We're not doing it. No.
I just want to say a few names. That's it. In here, I'm going to start from the lowest here. AJ Hawk, Nick Mangold, Santonio Holmes, Rob Sims, Troy Smith, Bobby Carpenter, EJ Underwood, Nate Sally, Roy Hall, Maurice Claret, Justin Zwick, and Derek Morris. That's an insane group there.
It's worth noting that, some of the biggest names are names that didn't pan out. Ironically, Mike D'Andrea didn't pan out. Derek Morris didn't really pan out. Justin Zwick didn't really pan out. Interesting. It's interesting to note.
Way down at the bottom there, though. Santonio Holmes ranked 344th. Nick Mangold, 399th. AJ Hawk, 543rd.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, because essentially AJ Hawk became what D'Andrea was supposed to become. And Troy Smith became what Justin Zwick was supposed to become. So that's how that pans out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Zwick was awful except for the Alamo Bowl when Troy Smith was suspended. And it was a meaningless bowl game because all bowl games are meaningless. Kyle, one last go.
All right, one last one here. An expanded playoff is actually bad for the sport.
I can argue either side of this.
Yeah. I was going to say, depending on how you view it, like if you're one where you believe that it's going to ultimately be just a two powerhouse conferences going at it every year, then yeah, it might be good. Or it's just maybe too many games now. Like they're playing probably just as much games as an NFL team is playing as well. If you make it all the way to the national title, right? That could be bad.
Right. One of the things that makes college football so fun is really giving so much attention to a Alabama versus Ole Miss game because Ole Miss who already has three losses, might upset Bama. And if Bama loses, then that might knock them down a few spots. When there's only four spots in the playoffs and they could, in theory, go to anybody, it just makes every game insanely important.
Yeah, it's the saying, every game matters. Every week matters in the
Kyle,
in college football. And with us going to expanding this out, I know you and I, Jared, had the
Mario Man rule.
We had the Mario Man rule. You get one. You only get one. Well, this may change it to you get two Mario Mans now.
When it was the BCS, you had no guarantee of an extra life. Had no guarantee of a one up. You could lose. It's possible that you could lose and still get in, but there was no guarantee. And then we made it a 4-team playoff, and the Mario Man rule has worked most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How you lose, and who you lose to matters. It has not always worked out for Ohio State that you could lose one and still get into the playoff. But more or less has. So now if it's 8 teams, 12 teams, I mean, you know, maybe you lose two. Or maybe we move into a space in which, like, the out-of-conference really doesn't matter, because as long as you win the Big Ten and you win the Big Ten championship, like, do we want the Notre Dame game not to matter?
Because
I think, maybe they do auto bids, maybe they don't do auto bids. But like if we enter into a world in which we'll just win your conference and that's all that matters, is that the college football that we stay up till 3 a.m. watching Hawaii for? Does it lose a bit of its... Spikes says down in the chat, regular season is a double elimination playoff. That's the more appropriate way of saying our Mario Man rule.
Yes.
It is, you know, it is good. It is good that you don't have to go undefeated anymore. That is a good thing. I don't like... Two teams was not enough. Two teams was never enough. Four teams, I feel like, has been pretty close to perfect most of the time. Eight could be fun as long as you do it right. And by do it right, I want guaranteed spots for your Boise's of the world. That's the only way that's going to be fun to me. I don't want, whether it be Ohio State or Oklahoma or Alabama or USC or Georgia or whoever, I don't want teams to be able to comfortably lose twice and still get in. Because at that point, it's no longer college football. At that point, it's no longer college football. Now, my dream scenario for the playoffs is you have two conferences. We're going back to the Big Two. If you want to know about the Big Two, search through our episode. You'll find it. The Big Two. Eventually, it is Kyle and I's belief that eventually... we're going to have a Big North and a Big South. It's the Big Ten and the SEC, but whatever. It's inevitable. I think so too, Spikes. You're going to have the Big North and the Big South. They're going to separate from the NCAA. Declare themselves a semi-pro league. And govern themselves.
Yeah. I think that looks pretty, yeah, disease spikes, exactly. It looks inevitable at this point where it's leading to. Especially everything that you're hearing
with promotion, what's going on, relegation, in
ACC.
That's what I want, but that's not inevitable. We're putting that one on the wish list, not the prediction list.
Especially everything that you're seeing in ACC country, too.
Oh, yeah. You have a bunch of those teams that are meeting with lawyers to see just how locked in that grant of rights deal is.
Yep.
Yeah. Kyle, you're gonna be living in Big Ten territory here soon.
I had a few coworkers talk to me about that, and I said, well, it depends on how, the question was about like where is this heading to? And I said, well, it looks like it's heading to a two super conference teams super conferences where they're going to be their own league, essentially. And then you're going to have a single A, then a double A layer of college football programs as well, too. And he's like, well, this is just all because of kids, these kids wanting money for their likeliness. And I said, that's not entirely true.
That's not at all true. That's 100% not true. 100% not true. This is about TV money.
Yeah, and that too.
Not in that too. Well, get off my lawn. Okay, yeah, that. It is literally nothing to do. If anything, it's the other way around. All of this, which is the conference realignment and the TV money, all of that is what's leading to the kids getting paid for likeness. Because the more money the teams and the conferences make, the more absurd it looks to not let the kids also get money. So he has his, it's not only is he wrong, Kyle, but he's backwards. He's got his chicken and his eggs crossed.
Yep.
It's the other way around. And even then, it's not even a direct cause and effect. It's just like I said, making it look even more ridiculous. The bigger the TV contracts and the coaching contracts, and the bigger that money became, the worse it looked to not let the kids go out and make money independently, let alone actually paying them.
Yep.
Anyway, that was a whole thing, but in my ideal playoff would essentially be you have two conferences, they're managing their own shit, and at the end of the year, each conference has their own four-team playoff, and then the winner of the Big North and the winner of the Big South would play each other. You have an eight-team playoff, four from each conference. They declare their own champions, and then they play each other. That's a beautiful eight-team playoff, in my opinion. And if you really want to go strict on it, you really want to just go for it, make it a six-team. Give the number one from each conference a bye. But nah, I think the eight's fine. I think the eight is fine. But the eight is fine in that scenario. Because in that scenario, teams aren't scheduling for themselves anymore. In that scenario, your conferences are handling scheduling. There's no more Kent State. There's no more San Diego State.
It's got to be Power 5 teams.
Power 2 teams, Kyle. We're in the future.
Yes, in the future, yes. Power 2, yeah.
Each team will play someone else from the other conference for three or so games in September, and then you go right into conference competition, and that's it. You're only playing teams within this system, which will keep things more comparable. not totally comparable, because it's just like the Big Ten, right? Who, if you're in the Big Ten West, sometimes who ends up being the representative in the Big Ten West is just the team that ends up not having to play, you know, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. Or you somehow only has to play one of them instead of two of them. You know what I mean? You might have something similar in that situation, but it's closer. It's closer to like-for-like schedules.
I think that is all the questions, Jared, we have here.
Yeah. Was that a good episode? Did we do a good job? Spikes.
I think that's good.
1 to 10. How did we do? Was that an episode? I think that was an episode. 9. I'll take it. In May, I'll take it. I will take a 9 in the month of May. All right. Kyle, do you have anything in Kyle's corner?
I know that was it. Yeah, I think it was tennis, wasn't it? The Ohio State team came up short. I think it was a week ago in the title game last week. I believe it was tennis, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I'm starting to doubt myself. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was tennis. Well, they redeemed themselves and they have a doubles natty just this past weekend here.
There you go. Hey, listen, we're about teamwork here at Ohio State, all right? We don't want that singles championship. Give us that doubles championship. That's how it works, right? You can only have one?
Yes.
That's how that works, right? All right. Congratulations to those two, whoever they were.
As in, Swipcast fashion, Jared, pronounce Andrew's name.
Oh boy. Andrew. Lushin.
Nope.
Lutshining. Lutshining. Should I be going Eastern European with that?
Lushinig.
Lushinig?
Maybe.
So I needed country of origin. Do we have country of origin? That would help. Also James Trotter.
And James Trotter. 6-4, 6-4 over the Texas duo.
There you go. Eat that, Austin. I assume it was Austin.
Yes, it might not University be. Of Texas.
University of Texas. Sometimes with those small sports, they're not always Austin.
It was the Longhorns.
Okay. Lushinig, Andrew Lushinig, Lushnig. I feel like I go like full Russian with it and be like Lushnig. I need country of origin though. It would help a lot.
But no, that's it. There's still a lot of moving parts of recruiting, upcoming visits and all that. We'll keep you all up to date once those visits happen.
Next week, we're doing something super fun, super special, and as far as I know, it's the first time anything like this has ever been done. I think it'll be fun.
That's a tease.
And that's why I don't want to tell you what it is. That's why I don't want to tell you what it is. Because I'm actually afraid someone will steal it. I want to be the first people to ever do this. It's going to be fun. There'll be pictures. It's not the running back tier list. But it should be fun. Again, I think it's the first time anything like this has ever been done. I've never seen it done, but I also haven't gone to great lengths to research if anyone else has done it. Because quite frankly, I want the deniability. The week after that might be a running back tier list. Also maybe a mock. We haven't done a mock since the first week of May. So maybe the second week of June, we'll do a new recruiting mock. I think June, we got some stuff lined up for June, I think is what I'm trying to tell you. We have some stuff lined up for June. I think we got at least three episodes already lined up for June, which I can tell you right now was not the case at the beginning of May. But, Kyle, with all that... Oh, and I haven't introduced the band yet. Tonight's ending music will be Brainiac. Brainiac was a highly experimental, highly influential band from Dayton in the 90s. They could have broke mainstream, but the... lead singer tragically died before that had an opportunity to happen. I hadn't played them in a very long time. Don't know why. So I thought I'd remedy that tonight. Again, a little experimental, maybe a little weird for your ears, but, you'll hopefully get past that. And again, as always, if you're watching on YouTube, you don't get the music. There is a link down in the show notes. But if you're listening to the audio version of this, then you can just keep listening. So once again, this is Brainiac. And with all of that being said, I'd like to encourage everyone to drink local beer, listen to local music, and of course watch local podcasters. Once again, this is Brainiac.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.